Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our study finds us in Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40, and I've titled this devotional, The Blessed Inherit the Kingdom. At his second coming, Christ will divide the sheep, that is the saved Gentiles, from the goats, that is the lost Gentiles. And here is what Christ will say to the blessed, Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The king here is Jesus. These Gentile converts, sheep, are called blessed as the favor of God rests upon them, and they are invited to enter into their inheritance in the kingdom which was prepared for them by God even before the foundation of the world. It definitely was not plan B. The kingdom has always been the goal that God has in view for his people. The whole of history is moving towards the kingdom. But it won't be in place until the time of the second coming, which is the entire context here. Until then, we pray, Your kingdom come, as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10. And if indeed these are Gentiles, as I think they are, this means that Gentiles were included in God's plan all along. The Messianic kingdom was predetermined, and it was ordained that there would be a place for Gentiles in the kingdom. Matthew 25, 35, and 36 continues. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Jesus here lists six specific things in which these sheep ministered to him with compassion and mercy. The works mentioned here are not the ground of salvation, but the evidence of it. A key way true believers show their faith is in loving fellow believers. In the tribulation period, true Gentile believers will show their faith by ministering to believing Jews who will be going through their greatest trial in all their history. Only true believers would dare to do such a thing because Antichrist will seek to kill all those whose allegiance is not to him. Matthew 25, 37 through 39 continues. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The saved Gentiles are called sheep, blessed, and righteous. They are in a right relationship with God because they will have come to true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being in right relationship with God through Jesus demonstrates itself in how one lives, in how one responds to God's people. The Moody Bible Commentary says, quote, their surprise indicates that they were not doing these things in an attempt to gain admission into the kingdom. The implication from the passage is that while the good deeds do not produce righteousness, those who are righteous do good deeds. End quote. Their surprise is not in being recognized for doing these things. Rather, their surprise is in finding out that when they did these things for believing Jews, Christ's brethren, they were actually doing it for Jesus. Matthew 25, 40, and the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. At the very least, these brethren are believers in Christ. But again, I take them to be a separate category from the Gentile sheep mentioned earlier, meaning I take it that they are probably converted Jews. This is a very powerful verse. The least of Christ's brethren refers to what society considered the lowest of the Jews. It will be open season on the Jews, and Antichrist will make an all-out effort to exterminate them. It would be very easy to not bother taking a risk to help these people that society puts no value on. But the righteous did. They cared. They intervened. They risked everything to help these vulnerable Jews in the lowest of positions. The defining hallmark of true believers is that they love and care for one another. This is not a new standard, but rather one consistent with the new command given by Jesus. John 13:34-35, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And again, in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. It is interesting that the test of who is qualified to go into the kingdom at this point is not a moral test, nor a belief test, nor a religious test, etc. Rather, the test is how the world treated God's people, converted Jews. In a sense, how people treat the Jews has always served as a test. Genesis 12:3, God says to Abraham, "And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You really don't want to be on the cursed side of the Jews. That puts you in a position of being cursed by God. We see this in an ultimate sense here in Matthew 25, where one's place in the kingdom is directly tied to how they treated the Jews. William MacDonald says the uniform testimony of the Bible is that salvation is by faith and not by works. But the Bible is just as emphatic in teaching that true faith produces good works. And a key part of those good works that serve as evidence that one has true faith is in how a person treats God's people. And here in the context of Matthew 25, it refers to converted Jews. Jesus said in Matthew 10:40, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Bible Knowledge Commentary says, quote, "A Gentile going out of his way to assist a Jew in the tribulation will mean that that Gentile has become a believer in Jesus Christ during the tribulation. By such a stand and action, a believing Gentile will put his life in jeopardy. His works will not save him, but his works will reveal that he is redeemed." Often these verses are used to emphasize the importance of social or prison ministries, but the context should be noted here. Moody Bible Commentary says, "It is good and proper that believers should be involved in prison ministries, but it must be noted that verse 40 indicates that these acts of kindness are rendered especially, not exclusively, to the Jewish followers of Jesus." End of quote. By way of further application, we should be especially concerned about fellow believers who are in prison. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. However, a key way in which true faith demonstrates itself is in loving the people of God. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. 1 John 4:20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For if he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" May God help us to love him and to love each other well as God's people. Indeed, it is a key evidence of true salvation.